So Washington has got to love this more than anything else.
Who doesn't love this? No. I mean, I was thinking about this weekend. Everybody loves guessing it.
Well, a Supreme Court vacancy, I think of all the sort of political, mysteries in Washington, I think is the most beloved.
It's the most
beloved.
Fun.
Yes. It certainly has the Capitol all abuzz. Speculation began along with the weekend when Justice John Paul Stevens announced his retirement early Friday. And so all weekend long, Democrats were saying, this will be no big deal. No reason for a Republican filibuster.
I don't think there's going to be any kind of a filibuster. Actually, that's a lazy person's way out. The American people pay us and elect us to vote yes or no, not to vote maybe.
Sounds reasonable. That's Senator Pat Leahy, chairman of the Senate Judiciary Committee, and even Republican John Kyle, one of the Republicans on the committee, sounded conciliatory.
14 senators got together and said, look, we will not filibuster any judge except in extraordinary circumstances. That's pretty much the way that it's been ever since then. And that's why I think it is unlikely that there would be a filibuster except if there's an extraordinary circumstance.
Ooh, did you catch those last two words? Extraordinary circumstance. Here to explain what that actually might be is Adam Liptak, Supreme Court correspondent for our partner, The New York Times, who we spoke with a moment ago, and our own man on the Capitol, Todd Zwillick, joins us both from Washington. Adam and Todd, good morning.
Hey, good morning. John.
So, Adam, is there any decoding of this extraordinary circumstance business that John Kyle mentioned and others actually on the Republican side mentioned over the weekend?
I think really it's just a wait and see attitude. There's some names circulating. They haven't done the deep dive they need to evaluate these folks, and they want to leave themselves some wiggle room. But the truth is that a filibuster is a quite unlikely scenario.
I mean, that would be my sense, Todd Zwillick, that this is a liberal justice that is going to be replaced by a liberal. It's the next nominee when Justice Ginsburg retires that would be the real knockdown dragout. But what have you heard about extraordinary circumstance that leads you to believe this might be a real battle?
Well, certainly extraordinary circumstance, John, is in the eye of the beholder. And it only takes one senator to try to mount a filibuster. It takes, of course, 40 to sustain it. There will be hemming and hawing from the right on a Supreme Court nominee, no matter who it is, because there is a string through Republican campaigning right now of opposing Barack Obama and his agenda, no matter where it is. Now, that doesn't mean that will necessarily be the attitude of the leadership and that a filibuster will happen. But I think you'll see a certain amount of protesting and anger from the right. Meeting the standard of extraordinary circumstance, when you look at the so-called shortlist that Adam has so ably told us about in the last few days and Supreme Court watchers all over town are looking at, none of them on their face seem to meet it when you
meet
look
the
at
extraordinary circumstance.
They don't
trigger a filibuster.
Not.
Well, Adam,
probably
let's go down that short list. I've seen Janet Napolitano, who's already faced confirmation, so you've got to figure that she would be a shoo-in if she's one of the nominees. Who are the other names?
And I would say that Janet Napolitano, although still on the nominal shortlist, is probably not at the top of anybody's shortlist anymore, given a single comment she made about how the system worked after the attempted Christmas bombing. The conventional shortlist is this, three names on it, going from, as it were, right to left. Merrick Garland, respected D.C. Circuit appeals court judge, former prosecutor, probably the easiest to confirm, probably the most conservative, although we're talking about a fairly narrow band of center-left people, all three of them. In the middle, the current Solicitor General, that's the top lawyer who appears before the U.S. Supreme Court, former dean of the Harvard Law School, Elena Kagan, mm-hmm. Never been a judge. And on the relative left, Diane Wood of the Seventh Circuit in Chicago, President Obama's hometown, Justice Stevens' hometown, but someone with a more elaborate paper trail and someone whose abortion rulings might upset some people on the right.
Adam Liptak, David Brooks, a columnist for your newspaper, suggested this is Obama's last chance to get a real liberal. He should go for broke here. Now, I don't suspect that Obama takes much advice from David Brooks, but who would the candidates be if that were to be the approach?
If the president were interested, and there's no signs that he is, Pam Carlin, a law professor at Stanford, Kathleen Sullivan, a second law professor at Stanford, Harold Koh, currently in the State Department, former dean of the Yale Law School, all of these people are full-throated liberals with constitutional theories and would be ready to do battle on a court with the likes of Justice Scalia. I'm not getting any signs that the president is headed in that direction.
So, Todd Zwillick, if we were to put this in the want ads, would it read something on the order of wanted, experienced judge, able to get along with Scalia and Alito and Roberts, ought to be able to make friends with a Kennedy? And are they going to be able to find somebody like that?
I think that last part of the want ad was the most important one, at least according to some senators. Wanted a center-left or liberal judge willing to convince Justice Kennedy, Justice Anthony Kennedy, to come over to the other side on all these 5-4 rulings, the split court. On so many decisions, when you have a 5-4 ruling, convincing Anthony Kennedy to come over to the liberal side makes the difference. So Chuck Schumer over the weekend said that was important to him, a justice who can convince Kennedy to come over. And I think the president also wants a nominee who's going to be a standard bearer for the party. We have to acknowledge at any time, but especially in an election year and just a couple of months before the midterm elections, any Supreme Court nominee is about the base of your party. It is about exciting your base. Hmm. On the other side, it's about exciting their base. I've said it before, but it bears repeating. Supreme Court nominations are about raising money. They are about the identity of your party and your ideology. So even if we don't see a filibuster, you need someone who's a standard bearer who reminds people why they support the Democrats.
And it's a showcase. Well, Adam Liptak, you know, that's sort of sad from my perspective in the sense that we seem to be enshrining here, and you have a bigger, longer history than I do, enshrining a kind of 5-4 court that has spots for liberals, spots for conservatives, and maybe a couple spots for swing votes. And that means we're not going to have landmark 8-0, 9-0 decisions, 8-1 decisions going forward.
That's right. Although you got to remember, the Supreme Court gets the hard cases. If they were easy cases, you'd have 9-0 no matter what. When they decide to take something that's divided the lower courts, it's not all that surprising. It should divide the Supreme Court as well.
All right. Very interesting battle looming. The retirement of John Paul Stevens effective this summer. The Senate hopes to get this wrapped up by the fall. Adam Liptak, Supreme Court correspondent for our partner, The New York Times. Thanks so much. And Todd Zwillick, Takeaway Washington correspondent, looking at all the politics. Thanks to you both.